Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Oh boy, do we have a major confession to make? Or do I have a major confession to make? I guess I won't rope anyone else into my confession, but we just spent the whole break, including Jay's updates, RJ. We just spent the entire break yapping about quarterbacks because, you know, you're not the only ones who are obsessed with QBs. We're pretty much obsessed with them too. And the joke around our show crew right now is who's going to take Baker Mayfield? I'll just tell you, the three of us do not want him on our respective teams. And there's going to be a couple of us either happy or unhappy once the NFL draft comes up. Unless, of course, the Cleveland Browns take him, and then we're just off the hook. Anyway, so we were kind of talking about that, and then it spun into the QBs that are on the rosters of our respective favorite teams. Tom and Isaac are both Jets fans, though Isaac tries to pretend he's a Patriots fan, but I kind of feel like... Or a Rams fan now, right? Because of Jared Goff. Have you picked up another team? There's not enough body parts of you, Isaac, to be on everyone's bandwagons.
If Alex Guerrero and TB12, if they want to continue another strong year, I'll jump on that team.
You're gonna but you were a Patriots fan last year, remember? You just got tired of losing in the AFC East. And then what happened?
I'll stay with the Rams then.
You decided you like Jared Goff?
They lost the game and he jumped off the bandwagon. That's what happened.
Foles they lost their first game.
He's going to root for whoever drafts Josh Rosen. That's his next team.
All right. So
No one wanted us.
Isaac kind of waffles. He likes to jump on board some projects. And so he's supposed to be a Jets fan, but he's not anymore. Tom's a diehard Jets fan. And of course, I've been a Broncos fan since age 13. And we have all fairly confident that we would prefer a different QB getting selected in the draft, but likely that our teams are going to select QB. So the Jets moved up to third. You don't move up to third to get a offensive lineman or to get a running back. And the Broncos are already selecting fifth. And so we were having this conversation, and then it spun into the respective rosters of the two teams. And we actually didn't know. I had no idea that Brock Osweiler is with the Miami Dolphins now. I wasn't sure he was on the Broncos roster anymore, but I couldn't remember there being any offseason news about him. Of course, we knew about Case Keenum and Paxton Lynch, who's not that long ago selected by the Denver Broncos in the first round. And we couldn't remember if anything had happened with Osweiler. Believe it or not, Dolphins, he's all yours. Which probably the Dolphins fans know this. But here's why we didn't hear the news. It was Miami's not even proud of it. It was a Friday news dump. Friday at 5:00 in the evening, Miami time. Right in the middle of March Madness. That's how you know they were trying to bury the lead. It's interesting. I love this music. I don't know that I like the combination of Brock Osweiler and the Dolphins. I wonder if... maybe Adam Gase can fix him. Actually, there is a connection there, of course, with Adam Gase and Brock Osweiler. I don't remember exactly how many years they crossed, but certainly Gase, the offensive coordinator with Denver, would be familiar with Osweiler. Yeah, so.
$790,000.
I mean, does he really need any more money? I had no idea. Honestly, if you had asked me 20 minutes ago, hey, where's Brock Osweiler playing next year? I wouldn't have been able to answer the question. Like I said, I felt confident that he probably wasn't with the Broncos anymore, but I didn't know he had found a new team. Good for you, Brock. And Isaac made the point that this is probably one of the top 5 days of his life. Maybe not top three, but we feel like it's got to be in the top five. The fact that he's getting played to play football again, I mean, that's...
Not four.
Not five. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks for taking our NFL draft show poll, specifically about how many QBs get taken in the top 10. We had some surprises last year. Sure that there will be surprises a week from today. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. With a quick way you can save money, switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. Cody has been waiting so patiently in Redding, California. Welcome to After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Good, good. All right, so I just want to talk about the Sharks, because regardless of we can watch it on the Mothership or any other channel, they'll give you a quick, yeah, the Sharks won, or blah, blah, blah.
Okay, first of all, it's not the Mothership. I don't even know who came up with that ridiculous nickname, but you're talking to a different network, so don't be giving me the Mothership, man.
I know you're not the Mothership.
No, I'm talking about... Duh. I used to work there. I get it. But don't call up this network and tell me another network is the Mothership. That's insulting.
Okay. Cool. Dan Patrick says it. I'm just saying.
I don't care.
Nobody gives the Sharks any credit, is my point. It's a West Coast.
Really?
Thing.
Nobody? Because I opened my show with it. Were you listening?
Yeah, and you had the Sharks guy on last week. I get that. So besides you, nobody else is giving anybody credit. So where am I going to come to give the Sharks credit?
Here, like you are right
exactly.
now.
Exactly. My point. You're the only one who gives them credit. So when I say no one, obviously, no, I'm not talking about just you, because you gave me the platform, and I love it. But I'm saying everybody, as in besides you and me, no one's given us the platform. Sharks won 4-0, man.
They did. They had a sweep, just like the Golden Knights, which is kind of good that they were able to match that, because otherwise the Knights would have some extended time off and the Sharks would have to battle harder in this series. And so, I think it's interesting, too. The Anaheim Ducks tweeted not that long after Game 4 that they actually played their best game of the series and still couldn't come away with a win. And so certainly frustrating for them, actually. And then the Kings followed up with this tweet. Hey, Anaheim Ducks, we'll see you this weekend at Coachella.
That's so typical LA Kings. I hate the Kings. But here's the real thing, and I'm all
I thought that was funny,
15
actually.
Seconds. Mm-hmm. Give me 15 seconds real quick. So I understand, obviously, Vegas is the favorite on the cards and also just like the fan favorite. But don't sleep on the Sharks. The way our attack has been going is unreal. We outscored Anaheim 16-4 in four games. You could take out our 8 goals in game 3, and we still scored over them twice. I love you, Amy. I'm sorry if I was too mean tonight.
No, too mean. I was just correcting you. Probably not cool to call up my network and call another network the Mothership.
That's what they call me. Oh,
I don't care. I'm just telling you. Think about the context. All right, Cody. I appreciate it. Not just that, but nobody talks about the Sharks. Everybody ignores them except for you and me. I don't even know what to say. The Shark Tank was lit again on Wednesday night, so there's a whole huge fan base in the Bay Area who's also very cognizant of what the Sharks have done. And, yes, I did open the show with it. Okay. 855-212-4227.
Hashtag Facepalm Friday.
I feel like I need to do a topic or do a phone call or a topic that's completely opposite of that. So let's see if Justin in Texas can help. Hi, Justin.
Okay, Amy. I have a Facepalm Friday. I had something else, but you just said lit with the Sharks.
Yep.
I am blown away that you are taking the millennials' advice and using their wordage. Amy, I am facepalming myself right now while driving, have one on the knee. But let's talk LeBron James.
Okay.
This man is ready to take the next level. He's been doing it all season. Mm-hmm. And I know, they only won by 3 and his team isn't the best. I get that. But what he did tonight in the first quarter showed everybody that he is still King James. Now, here's my question for you. With the performance that the Cavs are doing against the Pacers, it's not good. Let's be honest. It's not good. Do they even have a chance to make it to the finals? And if they do make it to the finals...
Well, who's they? I'm sorry. Are we talking about the Pacers or the Cavaliers?
No, the Cavaliers. No, not the Pacers. No, this is a LeBron James topic. Not Reggie Miller from the 90s. No, they're not doing anything in
NBA. I mean, man, I'm still trying to figure out how you actually think that I took advice from millennials. But otherwise, I mean, I'm with you. We're talking about LeBron.
Because you said something about the Sharks. You said they were lit.
No millennial has ever given me advice. I hate to break it to you, but
you said the word lit, Amy.
So that means it had to come from a millennial. I had to ask a millennial what it meant and stuff.
Okay, Amy. Fair enough. You know what? You win. Dang it.
I do.
All right. So can the Cavaliers actually win a championship, or are we seeing something that LeBron can carry it on his back, but he doesn't have the rest of the pieces to do this?
Well, can is not the question. Of course they can. They're still alive. So anything is possible. They can, as long as they are alive in the postseason. I don't think it's likely if LeBron James doesn't get more help. Now, Kyle Korver was in the starting lineup on Wednesday night. Ty Lue's decided he wants to shake things up a little bit. And they did play better defense. I mean, we'll give him that, play better defense. But there still were stretches where they weren't consistent, and there are stretches where they don't get enough production outside of LeBron. And we've seen consistently now over the last decade in the NBA, you cannot win a title with just one star. You can't win a title with just one guy, even if it is LeBron. And you don't have to go any farther back than last spring when he averaged a triple-double in the NBA Finals and they still lost 3-1. I mean, it's not enough anymore to have it. LeBron is amazing. He's one of the best players of all time, and not just that, he's having one of the best seasons of his career at 33 years old. But it's not enough, not in today's NBA. It might be enough in the East, maybe. We'll see what happens. But it's not going to be enough against one of those powerhouses in the West, whoever it happens to be. It's just, that's not the NBA we live in anymore. And it's not supposed to be that way. I mean, Kevin Love's an all-star. He's battled some different injuries, but I still think he's capable of going 20-10 easily. If he's out there and healthy, they need that. And then they need J.R. Smith and Kyle Korver to get hot on respective nights. They need the athletic production of some of these younger guys. They need George Hill to be a real good two-way player as their point guard. So he can't do it alone.
So let me ask you this, because I called a couple of weeks ago and I told you, I said, hey, I've got my Final Four for the NBA. And you're like, dude, we haven't even started the playoffs yet. I said, Toronto, Cleveland, Houston, Golden State. Have we seen anything in these first few games that can alter that?
It's only two games in, man.
But you're watching what I'm watching.
We've only seen two games of the first round. What happens in the second? I mean, I don't even know who their opponents are going to be in the second round. I don't know how you're just guessing. And I'm just not comfortable doing that. As a talk show host who speaks to the nation and who needs to have credibility, I'm not comfortable guessing about who might get in the way and who might not.
Okay, Amy, that's why I listen to your show. You always have the right answer. And I'm going to keep on listening and keep on calling. And you know what? When they are in the Final Four, I'm going to call and say, Amy, you were right, and I guessed, and I got lucky.
I mean, I don't feel like you went out on a limb, man. You could end up being right. But I'm just not in the business of guessing. That's not what I do.
I got it. Amy, thank you so much. You have a great rest of your night. And you know what? Let's go Vegas Golden Knights. They're going to take the cup. Another guess.
All right, Justin. Yes, it is.
All right, Amy.
Thank you so much. I don't always have the right answer, though. I actually had no idea where Brock Osweiler was playing football. That part I just didn't know. I somehow missed that, the Friday news dump. All right. I had a plan for that segment, but I don't really remember what it was, so I guess we'll do something different coming up. Thank you for your tweets. I'm trying to think what I want to do. I'm just going to tell you this first. The NFL draft is almost here, and nobody covers it better than NFL Network. Go behind the scenes and into all 32 war rooms as the stars of tomorrow are selected. The 2018 NFL draft starts April 26th on NFL Network and on Fox. Why don't we do this? Couple of different teams who select near the top are weighing in. And also, I think A.J. McCarron is trying to tell us something. So we'll get to that. And you can take our poll on Twitter, also on Facebook, too. I see some of you are weighing in. How many QBs do you think will get selected in the first 10 picks of the NFL draft? And yes, we are definitely guessing. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Here's Amy Lawrence.
As we've said, the NFL draft is now a week away. So if you haven't already made draft night plans, I think you kind of should. It's actually immensely entertaining to follow it on social media, in addition to taking notes, because that's what I'll be doing, watching it at home, taking notes. It's also fun to see the reaction on social media. And sometimes the picks get revealed before they're actually shown on TV. They get revealed on Twitter, which is goofy. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. So we know that the Cleveland Browns, according to Hugh Jackson, are still doing their due diligence, that they have not yet decided who they'll take at number one. According to Hugh, they've got multiple ways that they could go with that overall number one pick. And obviously, that will affect what the New York Giants do with the second pick. And so it's kind of a tough spot to be in if you are the general manager, the new general manager, Dave Gettleman. You have to have contingency plans because you don't know what the team ahead of you is going to choose.
When you're drafting, when you're signing unrestricted free agents, it's all about value.
You know, there's obviously players that people are talking about that are worthy of being the second pick of the draft, and it leaves us a ton of options. It really does. So that's the conversation we're having, is whoever we, you know, when we set the board and have our conversations, is that guy worthy of being the second pick of a draft? Can we picture him someday maybe putting on a gold jacket?
I mean, at least if you're at number two, there's only one team ahead of you that could change what you do. And this is, of course, barring any draft or any draft trades in which they would move up to number one. I don't anticipate that happening. But think about the teams then successively, especially the ones who need quarterbacks or who want to draft a quarterback, who may have this guy and then this guy and then this guy. By the time they actually draft, none of those guys are available. And so you really have to have a plan A, a plan B, a plan C, a plan D, E, F, G, H, and then maybe more than that. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So we've got Browns at one, presumably taking a QB, but you know what happens when we assume. We've got the Giants at number two, who may or may not take a quarterback. I feel like that's really fascinating because I've heard reports and potential directions for the Giants that aren't QB focused. And then you've got the Jets, who moved it up to number three. Again, I feel like the only time you would do that would be to get a quarterback. Then the Browns pick again at number four, and then the Denver Broncos at number five. John Elway and the Broncos have been really interested in seeing Baker Mayfield work out, both at his pro day, as well as talking to him at the draft and bringing him in for workouts. Vance Joseph could have a Baker Mayfield. He could have someone else. I guess, are we assuming again that the Broncos take a QB?
To pick top five in the first three rounds, you know, that's where you take impact players. So that's our goal, you know, to obviously draft impact players to help our football team now. You know, we don't want to be picking in the top five again, you know. So for this football team to be picking in the top five this year, we have to hit home runs, in my opinion, because, again, this is the last time we're going to be here.
I like that. It's the last time we're going to be here, and so we're going to make this number five pick count. First round last year, the Broncos drafted an offensive lineman. I wouldn't be upset if they did it again, only because I don't feel like you could ever have enough offensive linemen, and because they still had issues with their O-line. But C.J. Anderson is no longer their running back, so you never know what they could do with that five pick. Maybe they do take a QB. Maybe they have multiple ideas, though, about which QBs would fit. That's kind of the interesting part, because if the Browns, the Giants, and the Jets all take QBs, common thought process would be that one of those guys would be the one that the Broncos wanted. So then do they just take the other guy who's left over? Or do they then pivot? I'm thinking of that Friends scene with the couch. Pivot and take a completely different guy in a different position. So fascinating for sure. All right, it's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. We love QBs. We're obsessed. Actually, sometimes we don't really love them, but we're still obsessed with them. There's also this theory that teams in the second 10 picks could be looking for QBs like the Baltimore Ravens. And, you know, Joe Flacco, he's just going to shake it off.
Hey, I mean, it is what it is. It's a business, and, you know, eventually at some point that's going to have to happen. You know, it's not really for me to worry about. You know, I come in here and, you worry about what's here and now and doing your job.
So Joe Flacco kind of takes the same tack as, say, Case Keenum, because Keenum got signed by Denver, and there is this idea that the Broncos could bring in then the quarterback of the future. And so he was responding recently to this theory that he's the bridge QB and that there's going to be pressure and he's just keeping his seat warm. Like a Mike Glennon a year ago, once they drafted Mitch Trubisky, like an Alex Smith when the Chiefs went out and got Patrick Mahomes. So, you know, you generally get the same thing. Hey, it is what it is. It's a business. I'm going to go out there and play hard. It's not bad to have competition. And then you have the A.J. McCarron approach, who finally has a chance to be a starting QB and not because of injury, right? So he's with Buffalo, who picks number 12. There's a lot of talk that the Bills are going to take a quarterback or could even move up to take a quarterback and that it could be Josh Allen that they really covet. You know what Josh Allen has? He has a big arm.
A lot of people get sold on big arms. You look at the history of quarterbacks in the NFL, there's been a lot of great quarterbacks that haven't had crazy strong arms. How many times do you drop back and actually throw the ball 60 yards? Very rarely. The game is played with timing and accuracy. If you have those two things, you can be successful.
Oh, gosh, I love that. That's right, A.J. McCarron. You remind people, it's not just about the big arm. It's not just about being flashy and chucking it downfield. I mean, lots of people can do that. And how often do you really do that in a game anyway? Unless you're Aaron Rodgers and you make a habit out of Hail Marys. I mean, it's more about some of these other skills. I like it. AJ is using his best offense as opposed to being one of those guys who's content to sit back on defense. He's like, nah, I'm going after it. I'm telling people why that's not necessarily a good idea to draft a quarterback with a big arm. I love it. I mean, you just got a chance. Give the guy a chance, for heaven's sakes. And yet sometimes, even when the writing isn't on the wall, it is actually on the wall. Whether you like it or not, people put it up there on the wall. All right, so take our poll about quarterbacks going in the top 10, not even the first round, because think about Lamar Jackson. That's another guy that could go there in the first round. But QBs that could go in the top 10, how many do you think it'll be? Four or more? Or do you think it might actually be a surprise on the other end of the spectrum where it's not as many QBs and we're just obsessed with the QBs and so we see QBs everywhere in this NFL draft? All right, so 855-212-4227. Coming up next, a few more games on the ice last night, including one series that was...
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Down deep, goes to Crosby. Crosby with it. Around the left side to Kessel. Kessel, a minute and a half into this penalty, goes to Malkin. He shoots and scores! Evgeny Malkin gives the Penguins a 1-0 lead. Oh, make me a milkshake, Malkin, and do it now. Kessel on the right wing board. Quick, sharp pass to Letang on the left side. Shooting the puck and scoring! Chris Letang from the top of the left circle gives the Penguins a 3-0 lead. And he is smiling like a butchered dog. Finds the open man, and that's Mehta. He'll walk out of the zone, play it up in the air, over the body of Konechny, going to Sheehan, shoots and scores! Riley Sheehan from the airborne pass over the right shoulder of Neubert, and the Penguins have a 5-0 lead. And ladies and gentlemen, Elvis has just left the building.
We know it's going to be a tough and desperate team that we're going to be facing, so... I think you always look to match that urgency, that desperation to get that fourth one, and we understand that.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I feel like Sidney Crosby should be a little more excited. It was another night with some history for Sid the Kid. Does he still get that nickname even though he's not actually a kid anymore? This guy has accomplished so much on the ice, and he's barely 30 years old. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So Mike Lang with a bunch of the goals from the Penguins' victory over the Flyers on Wednesday night that put the defending champs up 3-1. And then Sydney talking about how, yeah, the Flyers are going to come back with some desperation in game number 5. And we've got to be able to match that, even though we're not actually as desperate. We have to go out there like it could be our last game as well. He scored his 5th goal of the series and in doing so became the Penguins' career postseason points leader. Nerd alert! Passing Mario Lemieux. Oh my gosh. Talk about some star power there and some incredible hockey between the two of them. So yes, the Penguins will head back home to Pittsburgh for game 5 on Friday. And it's just such an odd series. I guess the aberration is the Flyers win. Because otherwise, the Penguins won the opener 7-0. Game 3, 5-1. Now game 4, 5-0. All of these games have been blowouts, in really in hockey terms. But a neat night for Sidney Crosby and for the Penguins, of course, as they're one win away from moving on. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4227. That's our number. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. You're sending me the names of apps that I have never heard of before. I'm afraid to, you know how sometimes people, they know that I'm not super hip, and so they try to pull a fast one and they send me the names of apps that aren't actually real. I mean, they've done that before. Remember we had our show about your favorite cheeses and people were making up names of cheeses just to see if I would read them? So maybe you guys should check out the names of these apps and see if they're actually legit before I say something really dumb. But we were talking about advancing, moving on. One team did that on Wednesday night.
Getzlaf gets it up the boards, kept in. Vlasic the shot, tipped in front. Score! Hurdle is in front of the net. Logan Couture was on the side of the goal, and Hurdle tips that shot from a point home. The Sharks 2, the Ducks 1, with 10:51 remaining in the game. Down to 13 seconds remaining in the third. Can Vlasic clear it out? No. And Hurdle gets it out to center. There's 8 seconds to go in the third. It's back at the Anaheim line. One last chance, a giveaway by the Ducks. 2 seconds left, 1, and that's it. For the second time in San Jose Sharks history, they have swept a playoff series.
Second time in their franchise history, as you hear from Dan Rusinowski, the final call there of the Sharks-Ducks series. So I would say this was a successful hashtag duck hunt. And probably a good thing for the Sharks that they closed it out when they had their first opportunity, because their next opponent is the Vegas Golden Knights, who also swept their first round opponent. And the tie is, of course, that it's Anaheim and LA that were taken out unceremoniously in 4 quick games, which is why, this made me laugh, why the Anaheim Ducks tweeted at the LA Kings to say, hey, we'll see you at Coachella this weekend. Oh, goodness. I do appreciate it when there's sportsmanship and when there's humor from teams' Twitter accounts or teams' social media, because after all, it is supposed to be fun, and you win some, you lose a lot more. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Yeah, as opposed to some of those Twitter accounts who are run by interns or, you know, entry-level team employees who then act like they're going to throw down in the streets. Peter DeBoer, head coach of the San Jose Sharks. I mean, a sweep is kind of nice.
I'm just really proud of our group, you know, their resiliency, their composure. We asked them to come into this series and play with composure. We knew we were going to try and push us out of the series physically, and we stood in there and did it without taking penalties and with discipline, and that's the thing that I'm most proud of.
A lot of the guys after this This closeout game for the Sharks gave credit to Martin Jones, very similar to what the Vegas Golden Knights did when it was their goalie, Marc-Andre Fleury, who was stopping 97% of the shots that he faced in the four games against the Kings. And that's what these two teams have in common. In addition to the sweep in the first round series, they also have goaltenders who are right now, I love this cliche, standing on their heads. Hashtag because it's the cup. All right, 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico with some great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. Mark is listening in New Hampshire. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Hi, Amy. Thank you for starting my day off.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for listening.
I live in New Hampshire, and I grew up in Boston, so we're used to the Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, Rob Kraft drama.
So annoying.
But I know. The most important thing, though, that I thought about it this week is the lady who finished the marathon. I listened to the Sports Hub. So
Rich's wife, right. The morning show co-host Rich and his wife, Mary, yes.
Yes. So just imagine, like, I'm a man, like, I know I'm not a cancer survivor. I never had cancer, thank God. But just imagine waking up after, like, the first time and finding out that you have to fight it again. And then the second time, you have to fight it again. This woman is, like, a savage. This woman beat it, like, three times and then ran the marathon unselfishly to raise money for others. Like, that woman's a hero.
She
it ain't
is.
About Tom Brady's touchdowns, Rob Gronkowski scoring touchdowns. It's about family and life.
Absolutely.
Like, I'm raising a lot of children. You know, it takes a lot of courage and a lot of heart for somebody to do what she did. And I don't feel that she got enough accolades.
Oh,
like, she's the MVP.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that's not why she did it. I don't know Mary personally,
no.
But the story has been all over the web. It's been all over major TV networks because not only did she, as you say, finish the marathon and raise a lot of money for cancer research and awareness, but she had every opportunity to give up and didn't. And I think that's the part of the story that most appeals to me. The conditions on Monday were treacherous. I mean, even the winners, those people who finished and were at the front of the pack, were talking about how they were running in fear because of the wind that was literally blowing you sideways, because the pelting rain, dropping buckets, and just awful. I mean, probably if it were me, and I only do half marathons, but I might not have even gone out to run. It was in the 40s, and that's without the wind chill. And so because of her health history, she started to have some complications and was worried that she might have hypothermia and stopped at 15 and a half miles, but then went back, got some dry clothes, and Rich went with her, and they finished, and just amazing videos from the finish line. So she had every opportunity to give up, but did not. She finished her first marathon after midnight Eastern time, and there was a crowd there. And I think my favorite part was the smile on her face. I mean, she was beaming, which is awesome. I mean, that to me is the story, is just like what she's fought in her life, she refused to give up no matter how difficult it was. And she, in the end, was the winner.
She sure was. Miss Amy, thank you very much, and you have a good day.
All right, Mark, thank you. Yeah, I retweeted. There was a picture, and I think it was Rich that had put out a text kind of explaining, and he put it on Twitter then too, kind of explaining about the fact that his wife had stopped because she was having some health issues. And so after some time to dry off and get warm, she started again. And I think at that time she had completed 15 and a half miles. So they started again and they did the entire course, and he was doing updates along the way, which was really cool. And to see the crowd of people that was there to greet her and the smile on her face when she came across the finish line. I think it's awesome that there have been a bunch of TV networks who picked it up and done interviews with her. Really cool. I mean, those are the kind of survival stories that need attention. In our world of sports, we get so wrapped up in who's going to play, who's not going to play, who's getting traded, who's getting drafted, and who's winning and who's losing. And it's entertainment. But that's actually a story of life and death and resiliency and determination and perseverance and refusing to give up. The kind of example that so many of us can be inspired by and can model. So congratulations to Mary and to Rich, of course, too. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Let's see if we can work in one more here. Greg is in Fort Worth. Greg, welcome to After Hours.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Sure.
Great show going tonight, and kind of hard to follow that last story up. But I was just going to give you my my opinions on the quarterbacks in the top 10 NFL draft. I think one, I think the consensus seems to be around Sam Darnold. He's kind of the well-rounded, big program, plays in the pocket, but has athleticism and the right intangibles that can be a good face for the franchise. And with the Jets moving up, makes sense that they'll take a quarterback. Probably, I think Josh Rosen, I think he seems to be comfortable with a big spotlight playing in New York and has all the tools. And I think for the third quarterback, I think I expect a big trade on draft day because here recently, past number of years, it seems to be action on draft day. I'm not exactly sure what team, you know, totally speculating, but I would have to assume or guess Miami or Buffalo. They're close.
That'd be fine with me.
top 10 already, so
yeah.
I think a team will be willing to trade for them because they can get a good pick. And who would they take? I'm not going to guess on that, but those are three teams that I would pick right now.
Well, there are lots of theories out there. Yours is it's got as much play as maybe any other should. I honestly have no idea. I mean, it all really depends. The first domino is going to be the Browns, right? Because whatever quarterback they choose is then going to set a lot of other war rooms scrambling. And even if we think we know who they're going to choose, I don't know. I kind of believe what Hugh Jackson said, that they're not even sure yet who they're going to choose and that they could see themselves going a bunch of different ways. But yeah, I mean, that changes everything, especially for the teams that are looking for QBs at that point. Like, if they took the guy you wanted, well, then you better have a backup plan. And then another right. backup plan.
Can I get your opinion? Who would, if you were the Browns or involved with the Browns? Two questions.
You got to hurry.
Would you take a quarterback with the number one pick?
Yes.
And where would you expect Lamar Jackson to get picked by? Like specifically, what team?
What I've seen Lamar Jackson actually in some mock drafts with the Ravens at number 16. I wouldn't be surprised if he goes late first round. It just depends on, you know, teams moving up and maybe jostling around. But yeah, I feel like he's a guy that's maybe flying under the radar a little bit and certainly is extremely accomplished and has a bunch of experience, a lot of skills, really versatile, tough guy too. So yes is the easy answer with the Browns at number one. I don't think they can pass, not with the opportunity to get their guy, the guy that they really want, and having another pick at number four. I mean, what's to lose? Take your QB, and then you have another pick still at number four. So, yeah, it's going to be fun. We'll find out a week from today. We're coming to you live from the Quicken Loans studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Some crazy stuff happening Wednesday night in the NBA, except LeBron, not so crazy. We'll get to it next. After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.